welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
Alrighty, welcome to the magical, mystical, unicorn-like episode 100 here. I hope I've not done too much on the build-up here. You know, people are probably going to be like, "Ugh, Dave, shut the hell up."
Yeah, this had better be the best podcast episode ever, huh?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, we've either shot ourselves in the foot or we've gotten everybody really excited about it. I'm pretty sure there's no in-between.
Yeah, so I think this is a really great idea that you had and a very cool way we've put it together. Do you want to share, Dave, or with the listeners a little bit about what we're up to and kind of where this came from?
Yeah, sure. So this particular episode, I don't know exactly what inspired me to come up with this, but at some point I was thinking to myself, nobody out there has really done like a milestone episode that took the number of that milestone, in this case 100, and then try to turn it into 100 somethings inside of the episode. At least I've not heard of a lot of podcasts that do that. Maybe I just have not listened to the right podcast. But the idea that I had was we were just about to go to MicroConf in April, and I said to myself, gosh, wouldn't it be really awesome, because there's just so many cool people there that have great experience, and we've had a lot of great conversations with people in the past, and we've made a great, you know, a large number of friends that are all awesome entrepreneurs. Wouldn't it be cool if we brought everybody together in one episode and turned it into like 100 tips? So that was my inspiration for this whole thing here. And so, of course, I had to run out and buy a little Zoom handheld recorder so that I could actually record everybody while we're at MicroConf and then try to find quiet spaces to do it, which succeeded in some cases and didn't succeed in others. But the end result was we got this episode today.
Yeah, and this is really great. I mean, I've listened to the whole thing at this point and put it all together. And yeah, it's really fantastic how we've gotten a bunch of variety of types of people and different parts and places of their entrepreneurial journey that they're in. And they're sharing some really awesome experiences and lessons learned the hard ways a lot of times. And yeah, I think that it's going to offer a lot of value to people across the spectrum, from just beginning to more experienced people who are looking back and saying, you know, wow, why did I take this path here? How did I get where I am now? I think there's a little bit of something for everyone. And we're breaking it up into two parts because it's just too much for anyone to absorb at one time. So you're going to have the first part here today. The next part will come out in a couple of days. And I think that it's going to be really great. Each episode will be about 45 minutes long, and we're mixing up with a little bit of different types of people in each episode.
Indeed. I really tried to seek out different perspectives at MicroConf. I didn't want just like a handful of people that we're always hearing from all the time. I wanted a variety of voices, people who've been there for a long time, people who have just started out, people who are in the United States, not in the United States, men, women. Tried to get all different kinds of perspectives in here so that we're not just seeing sort of a homogenous view. But the interesting thing that I enjoyed about just going through and hearing everybody's tips was that there were some interesting commonalities where just certain themes kept coming up over and over and over again. And yet at the same time, there were like some random things where this person found one thing that nobody else had ever mentioned. And I was like, that's amazing. I didn't really think of it that way, but that's super cool. And so I hope you really enjoy what we found today. It was certainly a lot of fun putting it together.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And so now here's part one of the 100th episode of Rogue Startups. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, this is Alex Yumashev from Jidbit. We're selling help desk software, and I've been doing it for 9 years, and probably the most important thing that helped me out is, first of all, picking the right niche. So first of all, don't be afraid of competition, because competition is a good sign. If there's no competition, probably it means there's no market. And if there's no market, you have to create a market. So then you have to be a funded company, because bootstrapping and creating a market in an empty space is tough. You should probably go into a niche where you have some audience. Like Patrick McKenzie just said that the biggest mistake he made when launching Appointment Reminder is that he didn't go for the audience he already had. He just picked a niche which is totally outside of his crowd. Yeah, picking a niche was very important. Another thing is you should try start building ASAP. Even if you don't have an idea, if you don't have some actual concrete product, start building a blog, start building a website, start coding your payment gateway or whatever you might need. There's some product agnostic stuff that needs to be built, and so start working on that. That puts your mindset into this builder's mode instead of just a dreamer's mode, just sitting and waiting for an idea. So probably that's the two most important things that helped me. And the third one is probably recurring revenue. I bumped into this accidentally, but recurring revenue rocks. Okay, so selling a product, recurring revenue, and the product being in the core of your client's business, right? Being part of the core of the business, like with help desk software on email marketing software, is the core thing that helps your client's business process like keep functioning, right? So they can't live without you.
I'm Brian Marble. I'm this owner of Amaze Law. We do marketing software for attorneys. I think the one thing I would suggest is don't be afraid to follow your own path. Like, everyone's journey is going to be very, very different, and sometimes that's going to feel stressful. And this is a very specific journey. Like, no one's experience is going to be the same. Your experience is going to be different than mine. And to that end, take every piece of advice with a grain of salt. You're not going to follow the same path, so you can't follow the same advice, and just feel comfortable doing what you're doing. And that's it.
Hello, my name is Chris Guthrie, and I run a SaaS company called salesbacker.com. And I also have a blog at upfuel.com and some various WordPress plugins and other types of projects that I've been doing for the last 8 years or so. I'll say that relationships are really important. All of the businesses that I've had that have been more successful have come with partnerships, and those partnerships have come from putting myself out there by going to events and by just trying to meet others and then using those relationships to meet people that we can do great things with. And then another thing that's been really helpful is just trying to focus in on one core thing. I mentioned earlier at the beginning that I have other companies that I work on, but along the way, even though I still have those, I really focus in on just one by having a team of people or contractors or whatever on the other things that I can just keep the cash flow, which is nice for the peace of mind, while focusing more efforts on one main thing. And so that's kind of how I was able to each time kind of go up to the next level, trying to build a bigger and bigger business. And then another quick tip I'd say is de-risking the aspects of entrepreneurship by keeping your personal expenses relatively low. So, for example, the very first house that we bought, still the house that we live in, we bought it for $130,000. And in Washington State, where we live, that's not very expensive. Other parts of the country, it might be more expensive or not. But by doing that, and then it needed a lot of work, so we had put a lot of work into it. But the house has been paid off for several years now. And so from that standpoint, there's such a small amount of personal expenses that we can really just focus on the business and not have to worry too much about mortgages and car payments and all these other things. And so I don't have to worry about, okay, I have to make sure I had this, at least this large cliff of revenue just to break even. It's more like, okay, I only have to do this much to pay taxes on property and some savings and everything, other things like that.
I'm Dave Churchville, founder of User Mentor. We help SaaS businesses convert trials to paid customers faster using interactive tutorials. It's actually my fourth SaaS business, and I've learned a few things over that time, and I'm going to share them with you. So first thing, I would say when you're first starting out, always pick a big market. One of the biggest issues I had was in former SaaS businesses was starting with a market size that was a little bit too small. So you reach the natural limits of that. It gets harder and harder to acquire customers, and it's harder to pivot once you realize you need to make changes when the market's too small. So that's my first big advice. The second thing I'd say is make sure you're really focused on the problem that your customers have. So big market, painful problems in that market and really focus on those and let the product sort of evolve out of the painful problems versus starting with a really well-defined product but not really being sure about the pain. And that makes it less likely you're going to have to pivot. These days, a thing I'm really kind of interested in is making sure that you can actually operate a business using paid ads, paid traffic. And that's really because, again, one of the problems I had was you start running out of organic, or you start running out of places you can blog to or guest post on or whatever. So having a place you can go and turn the crank and just generate leads on demand for cash is, I think, a critical thing now, and I would definitely tune my business that way. Fourth thing I would say is, again, we're talking about markets and audiences, so when you're picking one of these markets and picking an audience, I would say make sure they're easy to reach online. And that seems obvious, but especially for a SaaS business, but it's something I really have to remind myself. Not only are they easy to reach, but it's better when they have communities where they're sort of self-organizing and share things. That makes everything easier. Referrals, places to advertise, conferences to go to. So that's kind of another big thing for me. And the last thing I'd say, since I did sell my one former SaaS business, that if you're starting out, build to sell, which doesn't mean you have to sell or that you have to think about selling all the time. It just means that you do things a little bit differently. Maybe you don't merge certain bank accounts together. Maybe you incorporate. Maybe you do things in a way that lets you separate later if you have to. And that actually makes the business itself cleaner and better, even if you never sell it.
Hey, hi, my name is Jacob Thurman. For about 12 years, I ran a developer tools business. I sold plugins for an archaic programming language called Delphi or Delphi. I did things like automated refactoring and code visualization and really geeky, nerdy stuff like that, which goes in line with having a master's degree in computer science, which I do. I sold that business about 2.5 years ago, and so I'm here to talk a little bit about some of the things I learned during the whole process of going from like the idea all the way through to exiting that business. So some of the things that Dave's asked me to talk about, like things I wish I'd known 10 years ago. So I got into this entirely as a technical developer. Like it was the scratch my own itch. I was working in Delphi. I wanted it to do something that it wouldn't do. And so I wrote some code to get it to do that. And I was just using it myself. And someone kind of looked over my shoulder and said, hey, you could probably sell that. And so I started doing that. And the business grew from there. And like most developers at that very beginning, early stage, I had this sort of the attitude that like sales and marketing is evil. If you just build a good product, you don't need sales, you don't need marketing. You just build something good and people will buy it because it's good. I had a really, frankly, a life-changing moment when somebody pointed out to me, like they asked the question, if your potential customers knew all of the facts about your software and other software that's available to them and everything, would they choose to use your software to help them solve their problems? And if the answer to that question is yes, then you owe your customers and yourself and the universe that information and your customers the opportunity to have that information. Because if there is information and product that's going to make their lives better and you're withholding it from them simply because you think you shouldn't tell them about it, you're wrong. If I had known that 10 years ago, I would have had a bigger business faster, and everything probably would have been better. So it took a little bit of work and a little bit of a convincing for me to decide that like sales and marketing was actually something I needed to know about. And a lot of that happened. We're here at MicroConf 2017 in Las Vegas, and a lot of that happened in the first couple of MicroConfs here was when my mindset really changed on a lot of that stuff. Biggest tips that I would give. My favorite thing is I'm going to claim to have invented this even though I didn't. I came up with it independently. I don't think I'm the first one to have come up with this, but I did come up with it independently. It's the idea of Marketing Monday. That for a developer, a programmer like me, who when I think of going to work, I think of sitting down at the computer and opening the code editor and writing code. That's what work is. And so the idea of setting aside Monday, or you can pick any day of the week, but Marketing Monday has some nice alliteration. And that day is for marketing. No code writing, no developing features, none of that stuff. All you can do is marketing stuff. You know, writing copy, working on your website, creating advertising, whatever it is you need to do for marketing. You spend Monday doing that. And then So it gives you a day to do it, and it also means the other 4 days you don't have to think about it, and maybe, depending on the size and the stage of your business, you shouldn't think about it. A lot of times, you know, we want to put ads out there, and we want to see instant results, and so we check it on, we publish something Monday afternoon, and we check it Tuesday morning, and we haven't gotten any significant results, and then we're disappointed. But if you can leave it alone for a week, you may actually see that something is happening. And along with that, the other thing I would say is to keep a journal of what you're doing. So on Marketing Monday, every Monday, as you start advertising campaigns, you run an A-B test, whatever you're doing, write that down. Write down like what it is you think this is supposed to do. Don't just spit into the wind, so to speak. But write down what you think is going to happen as a result of this campaign, a result of this split test. So basically you're formulating a hypothesis and an experiment for how you're going to prove that hypothesis. And then you come back to that a week later and you can actually see what you were thinking. Like, here's the experiment. Here's how I know if it was correct or not. Here's how I know if it worked. And then that allows you to learn as you go. Because at an early stage, and frankly, all through this, we want to optimize for learning. Like, we want to learn how our customers think and help them get the most out of our products. And then finally, with that journal, it allows you to go back go back years and remember all of the stuff that you've learned. Because we learn so much running a business, we do so much of this all the time, that there's no way to keep it all in your head. You know, there's a lesson learned about, the color of your buy now button maybe makes a difference. But you forget that when you redesign your website 4 years after you did that test. But you go back through that journal and you learn all of those things. Or you reread all those things, so you kind of relearn them. And it keeps all that stuff fresh in your mind, allows you to remember everything that you've learned. In terms of defeats, I guess maybe the biggest defeats would just be as I learned, like especially as I talked about the mindset shift about sales and marketing, realizing how much I'd left on the table and how badly I had actually been doing at first. But again, I'm the optimist. You know, all that was is, if you're at the bottom, there's no place to go but up.
Nice.
So there's some, maybe not defeat, but like regret, only in that I wish I'd learned this sooner. I wish I'd realized these things sooner. I would have made more money. I would have had more happy customers and things like that.
I'm Brian Castle. I run Audience Ops. I think number one is understanding the specific problem that your product or service solves. I used to do too many things, solving too many problems, and once you focus on that, that's key. Number two, understanding who has that problem more than anyone else. Who your most ideal customer is, who experiences that problem, and knows that they have that problem, that's key. Let's see, number three, just trying to stay healthy, taking care of the mind and the body. And I don't do a good enough job on that front myself, but I do know that not only is it healthy, but it's healthy for the business too. Every time I don't do so well with eating and exercising, I can't focus as well on the business. Making time off, hanging out with family, traveling, hobbies. I don't think I do enough of this myself. We do travel a lot, and I love the time with the family, but I'd like to do more things that are not related to the business to break away from it. Systems. Build systems and processes that can repeat and run without you. So everything that you work on, it can't stop working after you stop working on it. You have to build it into a system that keeps working so that you can go work on something else.
Hi-de-ho, everybody. My name is Patrick McKenzie, better known as Patty11 on the internet, and for five things that worked out pretty well for my business over the course of the last 10 years or so. The first one was getting decent at organic SEO, particularly organic SEOs or scalable content generation. So I figured out a way to have a single template page that could be repeated multiple times on my website, and which I could fill with content that would be laser targeted against a particular search term, and then have the content actually written by freelancers. And my own custom-built CMS to do that. The second thing that drove my business forward was getting really good at lifecycle email marketing. Particularly, my one magic bullet for this is a one-month course delivered over email about whatever the topic was that brought people to my landing page. So typically, I would do 6 to 8 emails over the course of a month, with two of them being salesy, generally email number 3 and 4, and then email number 6, whether that was last or next to last in sequence. See more at lifecycleemails.com. Number three, having a call to action available like that for in-person appearances. You wouldn't believe how many speeches I go to where somebody's like, oh, yeah, you can find me on the internet. But as long as you're going, you know, and flying 1,000 miles to do a speech, you should have a bit.ly link for your last slide to point people at a place where they can learn more about you and the speech and download something and hopefully get their email address. Get their email address is pretty much how you should go about all sorts of relationship building in business and life. Adding additional people to the team is a great way to accelerate, particularly if you have processes in place for them to actually implement on. I know a lot of my entrepreneurial friends would like to hire someone to do something for me, but typically if someone is good at defining their job ex nihilo and just executing on it like a beast, there's a word for that person. They're an entrepreneur already, and they're probably not going to want to work in your company. They're going to want to work in theirs. So rather than that, you know, do the job until you know what the job entails, whether that's server administration or doing outbound sales or whatever it is, and then write up what actually doing the job entails at your company, and then give that script to people. Like, we do things like this. Here are the systems that you use. Here are the steps 1 through 10. And you just grind out that every day. And the reality is that most people who work jobs want to just have a well-defined position that they can just, you know, that they can just execute on, rather than having to experiment into figuring out what works in their position. A lot of people want to learn and experiment in the small rather than the large. Fifth one, you should be good friends with your accountant. You should have a quarterly update with your accountant. Even if you think you know how much money is in the bank and you think you have a good handle on what your tax strategy is for the year, just tell your accountant, in the next 3 to 6 months, here are my plans for my business, here are my plans for myself. Does anything I have just said terrify you? That would have saved me a lot of grief over the years. For example, in 2012, I would have told my accountant, hey, accountant, I have two things that I want to happen in the next 6 months. I want to spend $70,000 on a wedding, and I also want to spend $70,000 on my taxes. And BTW, I have $70,000 in the bank. And my accountant would probably say, no, I'm not a math major. Oh, wait, I am a math major. This doesn't add up. And I would tell my accountant, it's no problem. I will have revenue next year to support that, spending the same $70,000 twice. And he would say things like, Patrick, I have heard that from many entrepreneurs over my life, and it does not always work out. And I would say, well, it's always worked out for me every other year. And he might say, slap, Patrick, think through what would happen if that didn't work out. It didn't work out. $70,000 on a credit card. It was a very unfun 2 years after that.
Hi, so I am Kyle Brown. My product is WP SaaS. It is a tier one outsourced support for WordPress plug-in business owners. We take care of the support so that you can spend your time developing or sitting on a beach. I have 5 random things that I think have been lessons learned, if you will, for me. The first one is not staying focused. That was a problem for me early on. It is something that a lot of entrepreneurs suffer from. But what I learned is that it's very easy to be distracted by multiple things. The shiny object syndrome. Focusing in on one thing and giving that all of your attention, for me personally, has helped me get a lot farther, a lot faster than trying to do multiple things at the same time. Number two, I'd say, is find paying customers before you build anything. No matter what your idea is, find someone who's willing to swipe a credit card for you first before you actually start building anything. I've built too many things that nobody was interested in but me. So that's coming from experience. Another really good one is do not compare your beginning to someone else's middle. We all have our own journey. You really can't look at someone's social media page or a blog article about them and know what their journey has been and how long it took them to get there. So don't compare yourself to that. Think about where you are and stay focused on that. Number four, don't drink someone else's Kool-Aid. If someone else tells you that this is the only way to do something because they're an expert, or they say they're an expert, or others say they're an expert, don't necessarily believe that. Testing is always a best practice. Test, see what works for you. We're all different. We all have a different approach. Test it, see what works for you, and that is how you'll get the answer to whether or not it's really something you should do or not. And last but not least, systematize. I'm a big fan of processes, putting systems in place in your business so that your business runs without you while you can spend your time doing whatever you want to do, profiting, building profit, marketing your business, or just spending time with your family.
Hey, I'm Tim Conley. I am an executive business coach. I work with founders, turning them into leaders of their company. Got started in this back in the day doing this whole podcasting thing. May know me from a show called The Foolish Adventure Show, and been doing random podcasting, been working as a serial entrepreneur, and enjoying the whole business experience. So the things that I've learned over the years to probably have the biggest impact. One, learn how to sell. If you can't sell, you're going to suck in business. So that's the first thing. Always learn how to sell. Always be selling. You know, go a little Glengarry, Glen Ross, always be closing. So that's tip number one. Tip number two would be hire fast, hire leaders quickly. You know, you hear that phrase, you know, hire slow, fire fast. Well, hire leaders in your team as fast as you possibly can. Skip the whole VA nonsense. Go right to people who can have a big impact inside your company. Tip number three would be surround yourself with great people. Right now, I'm at MicroConf with about 500 other entrepreneurs, and the level of conversation just takes things over the top. Being able to see the experiences of other people and applying those to your own life will speed up your own success. So do that. Then I would say the next tip from that, it kind of comes right out of that. Surrounding yourself, a little networking, actually make friends. Make friends with these people. You become the average of the five people around you. So befriend these people. Don't just go hand out some business cards. Really get to know them. Understand their desires, the things that make them tick, because it's going to improve you as a human being. And that's why we're all here. So then my last tip is be a better person. Figure out how to every day become better than you were yesterday. Maybe that's eating something healthy. Maybe that's hitting the gym. Probably should do both of those at the same time. But then learn. Learn from the people that you've befriended. Learn from the books. Become a better person every single day. And that is going to lead to not just business success, not just financial success, but success as a human being.
Hey there, this is Ward and Ryan from Memberspace. We have an add-on for Squarespace to add membership functionality and recurring charging. We're just going to give a few tips that we found have really worked for us. The first one is not having scalable support. So what that means is not just limiting your customers to emailing you. We also have our phone number on our site that actually calls us. We allow our customers to text us. Because we actually preemptively text every new sign up to let them know that we're here to help them and to give us a call or text us back if they need anything. We have live chat on the site as well. And then, of course, we have help docs and support guides. So we just make it as easy as possible. Also Twitter. So, doing that when you have 10,000, a million customers, that probably wouldn't work. But when you're first starting out, it's the best way to get real feedback from your customers and talk to them as much as possible.
Second piece of advice that has really helped us is using our own product. So MemberSpace is a membership platform, and one of the big pieces of that is charging customers, letting them sign up, and rebilling them on a subscription basis. So we use the platform to run the platform. So everybody that signs up, the whole membership workflow that they go through from sign up to being a customer to failed payment recovery, we run that through our own platform. One of the benefits of that is we're constantly using our own product in a production environment. So if anything ever went wrong that skipped our automated testing, we would find out right away. And it's been really valuable. We notice small things make things better for us, and that makes things better for our customers.
Yeah, the last tip is, you've probably heard this one before, to charge more. But we do have a caveat to this one. So when we first started, we were charging $15 a month, and then we kept going up and up and up until we got to $49 a month. And we noticed our churn rate was getting excessively high. And so what we decided was, instead of just lowering the $49 a month plan, we introduced a new plan, which was basically a loss leader, which was $5 a month for up to a very limited amount of usage of the application. But What that did was it allowed people to use our application for enough time to get value out of it before they canceled, and then most of them would upgrade. So sometimes charging more is generally correct, but you have to look at not everyone is willing to charge more or to pay more because they haven't gotten value yet from your app. So you need to align charging more with actually delivering value to customers.
Awesome. Thanks so much to all of the guests who contributed to our episode 100 here. I can't thank them enough for all of their awesome experience and knowledge and their willingness to share all of that with us. I think that's really the key, is we have all this wonderful cumulative knowledge, and to be able to share it together is really special for Dave and I, and to share that with all of our listeners. So part two is coming up here in a couple of days. Stay tuned, and thank you all very much for being listeners of Rogue Startups. We'll see you soon.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.